All right, let's open the Word of God, if you will, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We continue tonight our study, When Satan Calls Your Name. We have studied the spiritual, historical phenomenon from the standpoint of Job, from the standpoint of Jesus Christ, and now we're looking from the standpoint of Peter, and then we have one more reference once we finish Peter of the spiritual implications when Satan calls your name. Now, got several things we've got going on to work with the seminary students. You can meet up here at the front just for a moment or two after service. We need to get some information so that we can get going with the getting back into a schedule of meeting together. So you can meet up here just for a moment after service. That would be most beneficial to that. That's for the seminary students. On Sunday evening, the 29th of this month, we are going to have our graduation challenge for our grads, both college high school and college, which we have done every year. We've moved it to as soon as the graduation as we can because we discovered having it in August that they have gone to all the winds of the earth. So we found we'd get more, almost all of them, if we do it as soon or as close to graduation as possible. A couple of them asked me if we could do it just before graduation in case they didn't make it. They could still be part of it. But we'll do it on Sunday night, the 29th. And if you think we might have missed a graduate, please get in touch with Gayla. Gayla's putting the list and working with the schedule with all of the people. It's just so difficult in a society we live in to get anything where everyone can be a part of it, that it seems like the 29th is the best night for most of the graduates. Almost all of them will be able to, both college and high school. So we will have our graduation challenge and some fellowship afterward on that evening. However, Gayla, something just came across my mind. Hold that, and it's a good thought. Hold that thought. Then we might have another complication on that night. I just it's just difficult. I didn't get married and have a lot of kids, just so I wouldn't get into scheduling problems. And here we've got all these problems, but we will be having graduation coming up next Thursday evening. Jody Brown is in town from the Russian ministry, and he has been over there for well over a year, and so many things have gone on in Russia, and I want he and some of his people to come in and give us a report what's going on in the Russian ministry. So Jody Brown and company will be here next Thursday evening to give us a report. It'll be a pleasure and an honor to really have Jody and Nan and Pat Hill stay in my home and talk with them and see all the things that are going on in Russia. So that will be next Thursday evening. Also, the second week in June, I will be in Freeport, Louisiana, doing a Bible conference, and Rob Becker will be the pastor teaching here. He's going to do some intriguing work for you in the book of Esther, relating the book of Esther to the invisible warfare. Those of you that, one, are interested in the books of the Old Testament, and two, interested in the invisible warfare that is going on and some of the things that he has studied, Rob will be teaching it that week. And then the last week in June, we're starting Sunday evening, we're going to have our Invisible Warfare Bible Conference. Drew Friedman and Rob Becker, what we're going to do that week, since it's just a little over a month away, you can start making plans. One of them will speak on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday evening, and then the other will speak Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evening. And then Friday evening, we will have a question and answer and some food and fellowship. And both men will just stay as long as you want to stay and talk and ask questions in regard to the teaching through the week. Again, both of these men, in my opinion, have done some excellent work on the invisible warfare that I've not read or seen, heard anywhere. And rather than me do their work and study through it and then get up and teach what they have done, I just thought it would be nice for you to hear them and to let them develop the passages of Scripture that they have been working on or have worked on for a long period of time. And then when they leave, if y'all don't like what they said, I'll just call them heretics, and that'll be that. And saves me getting into trouble. But they've done some excellent work in regard to the spiritual life. Then what I hope to do is put it out in a little symposium booklet from the Christ-Centered Life Ministry. So that will take us up through the end of June. Now let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Very important study in reference to your life, day in and day out in your life, and things happen that just defy any type of understanding. To understand we have an adversary in Satan, and that he has the privilege, the authority, and the right to go before God and to ask for your name personally. It gives you an idea of the things that happen just under the normal process of the invisible warfare and dealing with the powers of the demons and the flesh and the world. But there are those believers throughout all history who Satan just comes along and calls your name. Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. And before you go into prayer, let me remind you, you may think that I am not worthy for my name to be called by Satan. I hope that I can communicate to you and have communicated to you how wrong that thinking is. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you desire for Christ to be the center of your life, you are worthy. Let's prepare ourselves for this study by prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves this evening with other born-again believers from all walks of life, sex, race, economic status, background, and yet, Heavenly Father, we assemble together as one in Christ. What a privilege it is to involve ourselves in worship together, knowing that we will be with each other for all eternity. Therefore, Heavenly Father, not only we commanded to worship with each other, but to love one another as your Son has loved us, that we might be able to complete the worship of the assembly together and fulfill the purpose of the local church that you have designed. To this end, then, Father, we dedicate these next few moments to the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that we may be able to accurately understand these two powerful verses pertinent to our lives as well as to Peter. And then, Heavenly Father, understand the things that occur in our life and what we are to do. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 22, in verse 31, which we have now studied, dealing with when Lucifer calls your name, when Satan calls your name. In verse 31, we have the scene at the throne of God. But it's introduced by the scene on earth. This whole passage reeks with relationships. And we have studied all of these relationships. Now look at the one that we're studying now. Simon, Simon. And we studied why Jesus Christ, one, used the name Simon and not Peter, because in a few verses down he will use Peter again. Before this he used Peter, but all of a sudden he calls him Simon, dealing with the alarmness of the weakness of the flesh. Behold, that means to concentrate. Something is going on outside of you. Take a look at what is occurring. It is invisible. You're not even aware of it. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. And I'm always prone to take the time to go back and at least give about a 10-minute summary of the word demanded permission. It's such a rich word. I think we spent some 14 points on just the Greek word. It's so rich, all that it involves. It involves a request, indeed, for even Satan must ask God. It involves a demand. It involves a covetousness. Satan covets Peter. Satan covets every one of you. That's what you have to understand. He cannot stand it that Jesus Christ came into his kingdom and has rescued you away from him. And therefore, he covets you, but not for your sake, but for his own sake. And so we studied all the things that are involved in his going before God. And what is the request of God? To sift you like wheat. And this is where we begin now. But we studied 2 weeks ago, why did Satan call Peter's name? And we took up a multitude of passages, and 12, I think it was 12, 15, I don't know how many points, but we took up just going through, and we read a lot of these passages in Scripture. I want to tell you why, just to remind you what's going on when Satan calls your name. Because there's something characteristic of Job, something characteristic of Peter, something characteristic of every believer when Satan calls your name. And that is that these people have an intense love toward Jesus Christ. And we've studied all of those passages in dealing with Peter. And Peter has an intense love for Christ, and he was not afraid to express it. His love for Christ had a great impact on his life. And there are a lot of things that Peter has made fun of, getting out, falling into the water. Why didn't the other disciples fall in the water? People, they didn't even have the love and the faith and the confidence to get out of the boat. They were holding on to the edge. He was the only one that got out. He was the only one that was not afraid to express his love. And yet sometime when he expressed his love, he said things that were wrong in the sense of understanding that you and I have in our great wisdom that he didn't put together. But he was never afraid to express that love. And those are the ones that Satan is going to go after. Satan is jealous of this kind of love. He desires to have this love toward him. Remember now in this great conflict, here is God and Satan, and the great conflict that has occurred in the first universe. This brought about the repeal, and now we deal with mankind, and here we're dealing with Peter, who is a study, an example of you, when you have this intense love for Jesus Christ. Satan broke the relationship between God and man. He did this by sin, and sin resulted in death. This left him in control of mankind in his dominion. God, therefore, broke the rule of Satan over mankind when he sent the mightier man into the mighty one's kingdom to rescue us. And so, therefore, God, demonstrating his love, the magnitude of his love, he sent his son to die on a cross, and this results in life. And therefore comes the great struggle between God and Satan. Jesus Christ has come in, and he has rescued you out of the control of Satan, and that makes Satan jealous. That makes Satan mad. And then, add to that, when you dare to come along and to live the Christ-centered life and to have a spiritual love toward the person of Jesus Christ, Satan cannot stand this. And the best analogy to make this clear in our understanding in a base way, it's like a man married to a woman. Doesn't really love her, but they're married, and then they divorce. And after the divorce, she subsequently finds a very wonderful man who does indeed love her, and she does love him. And this makes the ex-husband furious. He doesn't love her, but he's going to do everything he can to get her to go to bed with him, just so he can show what he can do in that love relationship that he has found with that man. And this is what Satan is trying to do with Peter. This is what Satan is going to try to do to you when you have a relationship with Christ. I will show you what I can do. This is the sifting of the wheat. Let me have Peter, and I will show you he doesn't love you. I will show you how he will go to the adulterous bed, and how he will fail and even deny. This is what Peter desires, or what Satan desires to do to Peter. He is so jealous, he cannot stand it. You have to appreciate why Satan calls your name. He cannot stand it when you have an intent love toward Jesus Christ. And Christ is indeed the center of your life. Satan is jealous of the love of God toward man. He is jealous of the fact that God sent his Son to die on a cross and to redeem us. But I want you to understand that Satan is so jealous when you have a love toward Jesus Christ, because you once belonged to him. And he is so covetous, jealous, angry to the point where he desires to call believers' names and to show what he can do to them when they are turned over to him. He lusts after. Appreciate what I'm getting ready to say. He lusts after your love for Jesus Christ. He wants it so much. And he'll do whatever he can to bring you down. This is what he wants to do. This is what he desires to do. This is why you must walk in the spirit-filled life. This is why you must post a guard in your marriage, in your local church, in your spiritual life with Christ. Satan cannot stand it when you love Jesus Christ. And therefore, he has called Peter's name. He doesn't love Peter. He doesn't desire Peter for Peter's good. He just desires to bring Peter down. He desires to bring any believer down. And let me give you a principle of life. There are a lot of people like this in life. They do not want to love, but they are so jealous of the expression of your love to anyone else. They are not about to give you their love for you to respond to, but they are jealous of any love that you express to anyone. Principle 2. Powerful principle. This is why spiritual love is not jealous. In our study of the impact of spiritual love, remember that spiritual love, loving as Christ loved, Jeff, we're going to need some roll here. Spiritual love is a force. And as a force, spiritual love has one. It has magnitude. This is the measurability of love. Love can be measured. No greater love. Secondly, it has direction. And then third, it has impact or effect. And we're looking at 16 of those right now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you'll recall that love is long-suffering, love is kind, love is not jealous. And we spent a long time on how spiritual love, this is a characteristic of love. This is not a characteristic of the believer, this is a characteristic of love. You want to know what love is? You have to study the Word of God to find out what love is. And love, spiritual love, is not jealous. It is not jealous that someone else loves Jesus Christ. You see, people, when it's the love of man and love of the flesh, we become jealous when you love something or someone else or whatever the case may be. But spiritual love is never jealous. It is not jealous that it runs into somebody else who loves Jesus Christ as much as they do. Regardless of that basis of that love, where they got it, anything, doesn't matter. You love Jesus Christ. Spiritual love is never jealous. So we have to appreciate what spiritual love does and all of these kinds of problems. But Satan hates Peter. He hates Peter's love of the Lord. And Peter gave Satan the ideal himself of what to do with Peter and why he called his name. You'll recall in our study last week or 2 weeks ago in Mark chapter 14, I firmly believe that Peter himself gave Satan the ideal of what to do with him. That's when, if you will recall, when Peter made those great remarks that I will never desert you. I will die for you, though everyone else leaves you, and I won't leave you. I will not deny you. I will die for you. I think at that moment Satan said, oh yeah? You big mouth, you just gave me my idea. You see, people, when you express your love, you are vulnerable. You are vulnerable when you express your love. And God expressed His love and demonstrated His love by putting His Son on the cross. He made Himself vulnerable to rejection. And when you express your love, you do make yourself vulnerable. But spiritual love is not afraid to do this. But it was at that moment that Satan probably got the ideas. I started studying, working through this. Wait till I get a hold of you, Peter. Wait till I start sifting you like wheat. I'll have you denying the very one you claim to love. So this is what's going on between Peter and Satan at this point. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Now, Satan is hoping to prove that Peter's faith, loyalty, and love toward Jesus Christ are unreal. And he's going to begin now with assisting him like wheat. We have the aorist, active, infinitive of synazo. We'll take a look at it on the board and see what we can work out in its meaning. Here's the word, S-I-N-I-A-Z-long-O. This is the transliteration of the word. It means, the translation of the word, to sift. It means to shake violently. This is what happens when Satan calls your name. We studied a lot of this in Job. Now we're looking at it in another text in regard to Satan and Peter and to any believer when Satan calls your name. It means to shake violently as grain in a seed, like wheat. Is going to shake him inside of this seed. Now, wheat is placed into the seed there to be shaken, sifted, back and forth, back and forth. And what hopes to happen when you do this? What happens, and I'm no farmer by any means. My plants are turned into plastic and nylon and that type of thing. But what happens here is he's sifting. You shake, you put the wheat in this thing, and you shake it. And you tear apart, when you do that, you shake apart, separating the grain from the outer chaff. You separate the two, and the chaff is what is going to fall out. Now, let me give you a principle. This is what Satan desires to do to Peter. Toss him about. Terrorize his soul. By impending dangers, affliction, get Peter so frightened, so uncertain, filled with fear, to tear him away from all of his faith and love of Christ. And you and I know we'll study it briefly, and it'll work. It'll work. He will shake Peter from this time, and when they start leaving, this room of the Last Supper for our Lord, Satan starts to work on Peter. And by the time we get into the early morning, I'm going to show you a man is in the condition of what can happen when Satan calls your name. And people don't ever think it can't happen to you. I want you to become that aware of this. Peter, and that's why I spent last Thursday, two Thursday nights ago, going through all of those things about Peter and the Lord, and he's going to deny the one person he loved. The test for Peter was not adultery against his wife. That wouldn't have even been a test. The test for Peter wasn't stealing money. That wouldn't have even been the test. The test for Peter was the obsession of his life, Jesus Christ. That was the test. And Peter is going to deny him. I want you to appreciate what this sifting is. Just shaking him violently, terrorizing his soul, so that at the pivotal moment in history for Peter, at the pivotal moment when it counted, Peter will deny. This is what can happen when Satan calls your name. So this is what he desires to do, to fall away, to tear away, to separate. You have the grain, it's separated from the chaff. He wants to separate Peter from any love and faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Satan seeks to sift Peter, shake Peter up, so that Peter himself will fall through. That's his objective, to get Peter to fall through. This is his objective when he calls your name. Now, you may say that you love Jesus Christ. You might even be so to declare that you would die for Jesus Christ. Satan cannot stand this kind of love. If you live your life for Christ, you'll have every aspect of your life for Christ, the local church assembly, the spirit-filled life, your marriage, geographical location, your time, your money, every aspect, your social life, every aspect of your life is centered around Jesus Christ. We reach that point that he is so important, I would die for him. Those are the ones Satan wants. Oh, yeah? Watch what happens when I get a hold of you. Watch what happens, what I can do. You have to appreciate the power of Satan. You have to appreciate what Satan can do to your relationship with Jesus Christ, a person, being identified with that person. So Satan is going to do his best to try to tear you apart, try to cause you to fall through as one. Fall through this. See how? As one who doesn't love Christ. There's another one dropping. There's another one dropping. They don't love Christ. This is what he's hoping to do. And Peter himself is not going to fall through this sifting, but his faith is going to fall through. Now, I want you to appreciate the statement here of what Satan asked God. He went up and asked God, I want him. Just as he did with Job, I want him and sift him. This is one of the worst things that can happen to separate you. All of this shaking, all of this back and forth, up and down, the terrorizing of your soul. You lose orientation to where you are, who you are. You're uncertain about everything. You're uncertain about God when you're in that turmoil. When in the middle of the night your soul is being tossed about, you're not even certain of who you are, where and who God is, Christ. All of these things. This is a historical thing that has always gone on, and I want you to appreciate the fact it is such a wonderful scene. It is such a perfect scene for what Satan is doing. God himself uses the same sifting to separate true Israel from the false Israel. Look with me just so you'll see. Amos chapter 9, verse 9. Look at the book of Amos. Amos 9, verse 9. Or chapter 9, verse 9. Look with me at Amos. If you don't know where it is, look it up in the table of contents. Nothing wrong with that. Amos 9, 9. Look at verse 8, moving into it. Behold, the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth. However, I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. Okay, how's he going to decide what he's going to destroy or not? For behold, I am commanding, and I will shake the house of Jacob among all nations as grain is shaken in a sieve, but not a kernel will fall to the ground. In other words, what God is saying here is, I am going to cause such turmoil, I am going to cause such havoc in the nation of Israel, that all false Israel will fall through. But that which is captured and kept, that I will redeem, that I will carry on with, that I need to separate. There comes that time when there needs to be that kind of separation in those who have a true understanding and love of the Lord and of the spiritual life, and those who do not. And so this is what God does. Now turn with me back to Luke chapter 22. Now, in our study, this is what Satan wants to do. Prove that Peter is not a believer. hit Peter through with the staff. Now, Peter, just for the record, is not going to fall through. By this shaking, Peter's love, Peter's faith will fall through, will be shaken, will be separated from Peter. And this is what Satan can do to any believer. Now, I'm saving the punchline here, and that's a little dangerous until we move on in the study of Peter. But I want you just to get it into your mind. This is what Satan can do to any of us. You get the idea, in your arrogance and in your flesh, Satan couldn't do this. I want you to appreciate the fact this man, Peter, is actually looking at Jesus Christ with his eyes, at the person of Christ in one of those denials. Looking at him face to face. And then I want to show you what it did to Peter and the results afterward. But before we do that, let's just stay with our drama now. For the record, Satan will start in on Peter, and by the time we get to early morning, Satan has been sifting Peter to the point where he will deny Jesus Christ. Look at verse 33. We're looking at 22, and now read with me verses 33 and 34. And he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And we've already studied this. This is not arrogance. This is not arrogance. This is the expression of the love to the point that this man can express it. And he means it. He will pull a sword on a whole body of soldiers. This is not an idle boast. This is why this man's name is called. None of the others didn't say this. And don't think they didn't say it because they knew better. They didn't say it because they were afraid to express their love. This man's not afraid to. And you take a lot of shots, but you're not afraid to express your love. Verse 34, and Jesus said to him, I say to you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied three times that you even know me. I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. Peter, what's going on in the invisible warfare, you don't even begin to grasp. And before the dawn occurs, you will have denied that you even know me three times. And I would dare say that almost everyone in this room, we can't even imagine that we would deny him. I have proclaimed Christ since I was 6 years old. All my life. I can't even imagine a circumstance where I would deny it. But I want to tell you something, people. Don't ever get arrogant about it. Because if Satan zeroes in, he can so shake you. He can get you so disoriented, you don't know what you would do. So we'll study and put all of these things in the proper perspective of the church age. The principle, you have no idea what you will do when Satan calls your name. I will never do anything to ruin my marriage. I will never do anything to ruin my home. I would never do anything to cause turmoil and trouble in the local church where God has positioned me. I will never do all of these things. But when Satan calls your name, if you're not garrisoned, if you're not strong in the Lord, and I'll just tell you right now, because we already know a lot of these things, that it kind of breaks from the drama. If you are not filled with the Spirit, empowered by God the Holy Spirit, you won't even believe what you would do. You won't even believe what you'd do to your marriage, your home, a local church, your own relationship with Christ. If you do not know how to moment by moment walk by faith in the person of the Holy Spirit. Have that fellowship, as Paul calls it, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This is why I hope that you begin to understand, this is why you need to understand a moment by moment faith reliance and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, fear is not the word that we function by, but to make my point, so I'll put it in kind of in quotes as saying it. Some of my critics won't understand it anyway. You should fear what Satan can cause you to do. You should fear what Satan can cause you to do and make sure that every moment you are walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. For greater is he that is in you than he that is without. And just so that you'll know what he can do this. It can cause you to deny your very Savior. We have to appreciate what he can do. Now we come to one of the most beautiful verses to me in all of the Bible. And I hope that every one of you will put this into the memory of your soul. In your notes, if you please. But most important, in the memory of your soul, that you will remember this in your own relationship with Christ, in your own struggles in life, your own terrors, your own dark nights. I hope that you will never forget this verse. Here is a true friend. We now move to a true friend as far as the plan of God is concerned. Verse 32. Now, Job had three friends. He had some believing friends, friends who were born-again believers, and you'll recall what they did. They attacked Job. And what did Job say? Why do you crush me with your words? Job's three friends came to him and attacked him. They are born-again believers, and they attacked Job and crushed his soul, and Job had not even done anything wrong. It's bad enough when a believer friend will attack you and you've done something wrong. And I hope you will never do that. I hope we've covered that sufficiently. Don't ever call someone a loser. You and I are here to encourage. But Job didn't even do anything wrong. And he had three friends attacking him. It is amazing how believers become the tool of Satan and attack other believers. How often believers are Satan's own tools in division among believers, trying to hurt believers, tear each other down. Within a local church, within the body of Christ. This is the way of man. This is the way of man to cut each other down. If we were a church of testimonies, there's a friend of mine here tonight, he could give you a testimony of cutting each other down. How people will cut other people down with no cause, but they'll make it a cause. This is the way of man. This isn't the way of spiritual love. This isn't the way of the spiritual life. But Job's three friends cut him down. But here in verse 32 now, here's a true friend. Here is Jesus Christ, not judging, not separating, and not crushing Peter's soul. But as a matter of fact, the very opposite. Praying for Peter, knowing that Peter was going to fail. Now how about that? He knows that Peter is going to fail. And he's going to come and give Peter some encouragement. Verse 32. But Satan has gone before. Ask God to assist you. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And look what Christ said. Here's, it's part of his prayer, but it's also encouragement. And you, when once you have turned again, assurance to Peter, strengthen your brothers. This is what believers learn to do. Once Satan has called your name, this is what Job did. What did Job do for his believing friends? This is what happens. And Satan has called your name, but we'll save all of that as we go through this study. But what happens if you stay with it and Satan has called your name? The other side is unbelievable. But we'll take it all in its proper place. Verse 32, but I have prayed for you. Now stop right here. I want you to see the drama. I hope you see the drama going on at the throne of God, the third heaven, the invisible spiritual, but very real aspect. Here we have at the throne of God a supernatural, a spiritual thing going on. Here is the great throne of God. And coming up to the throne of God is the most magnificent of all the spiritual and supernatural creatures. Satan himself comes up to God to request of God, to make his demand of God. He comes before God demanding Peter, demanding to shake Peter, to get Peter to even deny God's own Son. So this is going on right now. Now, what is so interesting here, I want you to appreciate everything about Christ, the humanity of Jesus. He knows he's going to die in a few hours, but look who he's praying for. Now, so look, Peter, I am so sorry for you, but right now I got my own problems. I mean, you know, in the morning, it's all over for me. They're going to strip me of my clothes, beat me, and hang me on a cross. And I'm really sorry for you, buddy, but you got to fight your own battle now. No. No. Not Christ. Not Christ. This is the kind of friend he is. Now watch what happens. I want you to see the drama. I wish I was a better equipped orator so I could make this so dramatic for you. The throne of God, Satan, a few hours from now, God's own Son is going to die on a cross. God is going to have to judge him. And in the midst of all of that, Satan, the supernatural creature, comes up and says, I demand Peter. I want to sift Peter. And then at the same time, up comes his own Son, Jesus Christ. He starts making petition before God. Here is God hearing a supernatural creature whom he's listened to all the way from the prehistoric time, demanding to take Peter and sifting, and Jesus Christ, his own Son, coming up, and he's offering prayer for Peter. So we have all of these relationships. We have the relationship now of God and Satan, and we study this relationship. The relationship where Satan has the privilege, he has the position that he can come before God and make this kind of request, and he can make it of you. So there's a relationship between God and Satan, and I've dealt with that relationship with you. Leave it alone. You and I are not told to fight him. You and I are not told to damn him. You leave it alone. This is something. This creature right here was the most magnificent of his creation. And what's going on between God and Satan, you and I leave alone. Because there's something going on that he can come before God. There's a relationship here. Then there's a relationship between God and his own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes before God. And who's caught in the middle of all of this? The believer Peter. Caught in the middle of what's going on here. Here's what's going on at the throne of God, and it's all concerning this believer here who dared to express his love, his intense love for Jesus Christ. And now he is the great issue at the throne of God, and I want you to understand you are at issue when you have this intense love of the person of Jesus Christ, an intimate relationship with him, for he is indeed the center of your life. Satan can't stand it. So this is what's going on in all of this. Two requests come to God. Two requests. One, by Satan to sift Peter. Secondly, by Jesus Christ to support Peter. Now here's what's beautiful. Watch this. God will grant both requests. God is going to grant the request of Satan. God is going to grant the request of his Son. This is what's amazing. And I'll tell you right now, this is what God will say. Satan, you can have him, and to his Son, I will answer your prayer also. All right, look what he says. But I, actually am I, it's ego. Referring to the person of Jesus Christ, Peter's Savior, Peter's friend. What a friend Peter has here, people. Not like Job's friend. See, Job wasn't even warned. Job was not warned that his name had been requested in the spiritual warfare. But this is what kind of friend Peter is, as Christ is. He comes to Peter, says, Peter, Satan's called your name, and now you've been warned from the Word of God. And things happen you can't even understand. It's not going to be some friend knocking you down, attacking, saying, well, you must have done something wrong. You must have got out of the plan of God. No, not the Lord. He says, Peter, behold, there's a conflict going on. Things are going to happen. You're not really going to understand them. But I want you to understand this. Satan's called your name. So this is the kind of friend that Peter has now. He's not only Peter's Savior, he's also Peter's friend. The personal pronoun I, if you look at verse 32, but I, or am I, it's in contrast to Satan. Satan has demanded you, but I have prayed for you. So we have a great contrast before the throne of God. Satan, on this hand, has demanded you, but I have prayed for you. So we have a great contrast set up. Satan versus Jesus Christ at the throne of God. Now Satan is jealous and he's demanding one that he's lost. That's what he's doing. So you should have that in your mind. Satan is demanding one that he has lost. That one that he has lost is Peter. Peter has accepted Christ as Savior. He's lost him and he demands to get him back. Let's take a look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is praying for protection for one whom is about to die. He's praying for protection. He's praying for security of the one for whom he's about to die, and that's Peter. One wants Peter for their own advantage, and the other comes before the throne of grace for Peter's sake. Principle, this is the kind of Savior and friend you have in Jesus Christ. Principle, this is spiritual love in action. You want some examples rather than just studying through? You have to see the examples of spiritual love as they occur throughout the Word of God. Here is spiritual love in action. Now, the third principle for your notes, if you're taking notes. Love as Christ loved and pray as Christ prayed. So often believers make it too big of a deal. Prayer is so powerful, but it can be done so simply. What an honor for Peter. Satan fighting to get him back, Jesus Christ praying for his protection. What a comfort for Peter. First, Jesus Christ informs him that Satan is going to sift him like wheat. This would bring great fear to Peter. And then Jesus Christ turns around and says, but I'm praying for you. And there's a great comfort to Peter. So he says, I have prayed. There is passive indicative of deomai. Let's take a look. Here's our word, deomai. This is D-E-O-M-A-I. And here we have the aorist passive indicative. Aorist passive indicative. So this is what has already occurred. The word deomai means to ask. Now Satan, you recall, demanded. There we had, just so you see the difference here, the aorist middle. The aorist middle indicative of the word vatao, which means to demand, and we spent a great deal of time on that word. Now, what's the difference here? See that middle voice? That means for Satan's own benefit. Remember this, we studied it. He has demanded you for his own benefit. But Jesus Christ has been called to approach God and pray for Peter's benefit, not Satan, or not even really his own. Jesus Christ tells Peter, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But Peter, I have prayed for you. The preposition para here means concerning you. And we studied the Greek word for Satan, word that Satan used, and the word that Christ used, deomai. Here's what it means in its simplicity. Will not take up a great deal of time. It simply means to offer a petition based on a real need. And here is a real spiritual warfare need. Now, there are believers who do not think all that much about prayer. They really do not think all that much about praying for each other. They don't think that prayer will accomplish all that much. that it's up to Peter to use his own doctrine. It's up to Peter to use his own position. But I hope you can get this principle in your soul from the Word of God. This is your Savior. This is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is praying for a believer who is about to come under attack by Satan. If you don't think much of prayer, you better study your Savior. Because this is what he does. He immediately goes into prayer for Peter. Now, any believer who knows the Word of God and knows God and knows the power that God has is not afraid to pray and not afraid to ask other believers to pray for them. This characterizes Paul's whole life. You just read through and see how many times Paul asks people to pray for him and tells people all of his problems and his weaknesses and his substance and his hurt. It's not for sympathy, it's for prayer. He doesn't try to be a John Wayne Christian. He wants you to know he hurts. And here's your Savior now who understands the power of prayer. Jesus Christ knows that Peter is going to come under attack. Jesus Christ knows that Satan is going to attack him. And please get this in your understanding, that Jesus Christ knows that Peter will fail. How about that? And yet he still prays. He knows it. You and I don't even know that. But the Lord knows that Peter is going to fail, and he still prays for him. Learn from the person of Jesus Christ. One, learn to pray for believers in rough times and difficult times that you don't even understand. And it looks like they're failing. And it looks like they've made bad decisions. And it looks like they're where they are because they sinned and deserve it. But learn from Jesus Christ to pray for believers in difficult times. Two, do not judge them. Call them losers. Chew them out. Preach to them. But rather encourage them as Christ does with Peter and pray for them. You have no idea what the invisible warfare can do to believers. You have no idea. And I dare you to run down and judge another believer who in your eyes is failing. Christ knows this man's going to fail, and yet he prays. People, these are our comrades in arms. These aren't our enemies. Other Christians aren't your enemies. We're here to encourage. This is what Peter's, the main thing Peter's going to learn out of all of this. This is what we're here for. We're going to spend eternity with each other. Why do you want to be holier than thou and lord over other believers? You're not any better. So this is what you and I should learn from the Lord in these types of battles. Next, learn from Job's three friends how not to be a friend. Learn from Job's three friends how not to be a friend, and learn from Jesus Christ how to be a friend. You want to learn to be a friend? Just follow him. You don't need to read a lot of books. You don't need to understand a great deal. Just follow Christ. Just have a relationship with Christ and love as he did. Pray as he did, and you'll be the right kind of friend. So one, learn from Job's friends how not to be a friend. Learn from Jesus Christ how to be a friend. And Jesus Christ knows that Peter will fail, and yet he prays. Now, what is Jesus Christ going to pray in regard to Peter? This is the next thing we're going to have to study. But let's just finish up tonight with looking at the concept of Jesus Christ praying. And maybe other people are running you down if Satan calls your name. Because this is going to happen. You have a love for Christ. You live the Christ-centered life. You live the spiritual life. Things are going to start happening in your life. The angelic conflict and the invisible warfare. Maybe your friends will run you down with or without reason. Doesn't even matter. maybe even calling your name, judging you. Maybe some of these are your believer friends. And instead of anything else that you're going through in the suffering, think of that and kick with their mouth. But please put this in your notes and in your soul. But always remember that your Savior is making intercession for you. If Satan calls your name, please know that your Savior is making intercession for you. He has not departed from you. He has not left you alone. He is not judging you. He is not just standing back to see what you're going to do. Your Savior is making intercession for you. Please turn with me, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7:25. I want you to learn from Christ how to be a friend. I want you to learn from Christ the power of prayer and the place and importance of prayer. Hebrews 7:25. All right, Hebrews 7:25. How does Jesus Christ make intercession for us? All right, 7:25. Let's read it. Hence also, He, Jesus Christ, is able to save or deliver forever those who draw near to God through Him, through faith in Jesus Christ, since He always lives. This is the resurrected Christ at the throne of God. He lives to make intercession for them. When Satan calls your name, when you hurt, when you don't even understand what is going on or why, Jesus Christ lives to make intercession for you. He lives. He's alive. He's up there. He lives to do this for you. This is characteristic of Christ. Not judge you. Not separate Himself from you. He lives to make intercession for you when Satan has called your name. Here is encouragement. Here is encouragement of a true friend. Here is encouragement of friendship. Peter's going to learn all of this and never forget it. He's learned it right here before it ever happens. He's going to receive encouragement. Then he's going to deny Jesus Christ. And what is so beautiful about Jesus Christ's friendship, people, he's just been resurrected. I'm jumping ahead in the story. He's just been resurrected. Has so many things to do. The ladies come. And do you remember what he said? Go and tell the disciples, especially Peter. Peter's just denied him. But Christ called his name, especially Peter. You tell Peter, I've resurrected. I have risen. And Peter will be the first disciple he seeks out personally. Learn what kind of friend you should be from Christ. So 7:25, Hebrews 7:25, here's the encouragement of a true friendship. He intercedes even, now watch this, Jesus Christ intercedes in prayer even when He knows we are going to fail or when we have failed, when we have sinned. Even if we deny Him. Now this is the kind of friend He is. This is the kind of friend you should be. Even when Peter is denied, even when you and I deny. Now this is the work of spiritual love. This is the manifestation. This is the impact of spiritual love. Now how does Jesus Christ make intercession for us? Look at Hebrews 9:24. Hebrews 9:24. As I was working on this, I got to tell you, I don't know when. I got so many things to study. This has got to be elaborated on and made some kind of a week special or something. But let's just put it together in one night here, in just a few minutes. Hebrews 9:24. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands. This is talking about Christ at the ascension and session. Jesus Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself. Now, to appear in the presence of God, and what does it say? For us. That's why he's there. Now, how this works, look at Romans 8:34. The next passage, Romans 8:34. Let's take a look. Romans 8:34. This is what kind of friend Christ is. He understands the power of prayer and the importance of prayer. Romans 8:24. Let's take a look. Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. This is what's going on when Satan calls your name. People, when you cry in the night, as we studied in our weakness special, when you're hurt in the night, why don't you just remember this? You have a friend. He didn't stop at the cross. You have a friend who's making intercession for you even while Satan is sifting you. He is intercession for you. How does he do this? By the Spirit. Look at verse 26. Romans 8:26. And in the same way, this is how Christ does it, through the Spirit, for the Spirit is the Lord. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So therefore, close with this principle: when your name is called by Satan in the course of the conflict of your life, you're under great suffering, sifting, back and forth, no understanding of what is going on, your Christian friends are judging, holier than thou, I want you to just remember what kind of friend you have. And then I want you in this church to remember to be this kind of friend. People, it's not you and me to decide. They're being sifted like that because they've made bad decisions, because they're losers, because of this, because that's not for you and I to decide. What you and I are to do is to encourage and to pray. Don't learn from Job's friends how to be a friend. Learn from Christ how to be a friend when a believer is suffering. There's so many things in the spiritual, invisible warfare you and I only get a glimpse of. And understand the power and the importance of prayer. I've just given you 3 or 4 verses where Christ prays. Just giving you a verse where the Holy Spirit prays. It's powerful when another believer's name has been called by Satan. It's powerful when your name has been called by Satan. You have a friend praying. And I hope out of this church, you have a lot of friends praying. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to study the Word of God and to get a glimpse into the invisible spiritual warfare. And at the same time, Heavenly Father, to gain even greater knowledge and understanding of our Savior friend, Jesus Christ. The fellowship that we have with the Holy Spirit. And so, Heavenly Father, just as we should be aware and alert of Satan, we should find great confidence in our continual faith in the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, we don't understand the things that go on in our life and why these things have to happen, but you do, and you are God. Ours is simply to trust. We praise you for the God that you are. We praise you for your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen.